Shiva Gonam Vacha,
Shiva Gonam Vacha,
Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Abhayam,
Abhayam,
Fearlessness,
Fearlessness,
Satvasamsudhi, Purification of One's Existence,
Purification of One's Existence,
Jnana,
Jnana,
in knowledge,
in knowledge,
Yoga,
Yoga,
of linking up,
of linking up,
Yavastiti,
Yavastiti,
situation,
situation,
Danam,
Danam,
charity,
charity,
Dhammaha,
Dhammaha,
controlling the mind,
controlling the mind,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Yajna,
Yajna, forms of sacrifice,
forms of sacrifice,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Swajaya,
study of Vedic literature,
study of Vedic literature,
Tapaha,
Tapaha,
austerity,
austerity,
Arjavam,
Arjavam,
simplicity,
simplicity,
Ahimsa,
Ahimsa,
non-violence,
non-violence,
Satyam,
Satyam,
truthfulness,
truthfulness,
Akruda,
Akruda,
freedom from anger,
freedom from anger,
Jaga,
Jaga,
renunciation,
renunciation,
Shanti,
Shanti,
tranquility,
tranquility,
Abhayasunam,
Abhayasunam,
aversion to fault finding,
aversion to fault finding,
Daya,
Daya,
mercy,
mercy,
Bhutesu,
Bhutesu,
towards all living entities,
towards all living entities,
Aloluktram,
Aloluktram,
freedom from greed,
freedom
from greed, Mardava,
Mardava,
gentleness,
gentleness,
modesty,
modesty,
Achapalam,
Achapalam,
determination,
determination,
Teja,
Teja,
vigor,
vigor,
Ksama,
Ksama,
forgiveness,
forgiveness,
Dhriti,
Dhriti,
fortitude,
fortitude,
Sucham,
Sucham,
cleanliness,
cleanliness,
Adroha,
Adroha,
freedom from envy,
freedom from envy,
Na,
Na,
not,
not,
Atimanita,
Atimanita,
expectation of honor,
expectation of
honor, Bhavanti,
Bhavanti,
are,
are,
Sampadam,
Sampadam,
the qualities,
the qualities,
Daivim,
Daivim,
the transcendental nature,
nature,
Abhichasya,
Abhichasya,
of one who is born of,
of one is born of,
Bharata,
Bharata,
O son of Bharata,
O son of Bharata.
So that is a wonderful list of qualities. Just alone hearing them is purifying, We will very slowly read through the verse now. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness,
purification
of one's existence,
cultivation of spiritual knowledge,
charity,
self-control,
performance of sacrifice,
study of the Vedas,
austerity,
simplicity,
non-violence,
truthfulness,
freedom from anger,
renunciation,
tranquility,
aversion to fault finding,
compassion for all living entities,
freedom from covetousness,
gentleness,
modesty,
steady determination,
vigor,
forgiveness,
fortitude,
cleanliness and freedom from envy,
and from the passion for honor.
These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata,
belong to godly men
endowed with divine nature. So this is these are the wonderful qualities of a saintly person. Devotees are sorry. Must have been to Lucas. Fearlessness. How can they be fearless? It's not a matter of determination. From this day on, I will be fearless. It's not like that. To be fearless means that one must have knowledge. Because as long as you deal with the unknown, then fear is inevitable. Because anything can happen any moment. And if you think about what can happen and everything that can go wrong, that will go wrong, and Murphy's Law and all these things, then that naturally there will be anxiety and fear in the heart. Scripture tells us, Bayam dvitiya abhinivesita syat. Fear is born from the very point that we see things separated from Krishna. As soon as we see anything, including ourselves, separate from Krishna. But if we see everything in connection with Krishna, then we see only Krishna. Stavara jangama dekhina dekhitara murti sarvata haya ista devis murti. When we see the moving or the non-moving entities, whatever we may perceive, we see their forms, but actually behind we see Krishna. We always see Krishna. Just like, you know, you come here on Sunday and you can immediately, as soon as you drive in the street, you see who was already here. Because you know all the cars by now. So you know, okay. Yes, Bhupendra is already here, that red sports car. And you know, Sutta Bhavana Manor is again there with this new station wagon, because the last one burned out. I was in it actually when it caught fire. I always bring good luck. So that is the material world. Anything can happen, but if we are simply seeing Krishna behind it, and if we have faith in Krishna, then we can become fearless. If we see that Krishna if we know that Krishna is Suriram Sarvadehinam, the well-wisher of all living beings, then we can be fearless. If we're quite sure, Krishna is our well-wisher. There's no doubt about it. So whatever comes, Krishna has all the best intentions with us. And even if there is some hardship, then it means that we're getting purified from some bad karma, but actually we come out better on the other side. It's like, yes, but what if some people die? All right, everybody dies, but what happens after? That is the big question. For one who has served Krishna, Krishna will be there at that time. But when Krishna will be there at that time, then even death is not a problem. So in this way, a devotee even sees beyond death. And therefore, a devotee always sees everywhere Krishna and can be fearless. Srila Prabhupada had that name. His father gave it to him. Abhay Charan. One who is fearless, because he was always fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That was his name. His material name. Sounds quite spiritual. And then his spiritual master at the time of initiation took that name and called him Abhay Charan Aravinda. One who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then later, he became known as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And of course, it's still the A.C., the Abhaya Charanaravinda, remains. And so, Srila Prabhupada indeed showed that fearlessness throughout. Who was more fearless? All alone to New York? No money? Are you ready? Want to live on the Bowery? Have you heard? Notorious neighborhood in New York. Will you go live without money? Very difficult. But Prabhupada had that faith
No.
Krishna will protect me. No, I'm not alone. Krishna is with me. In his old age, when others retire, crossing the ocean, Krishna is with me. And Krishna was with him. And the ocean behaved more calm than ever, although there were some rough seas which gave him difficulty and he got pain in the heart. And he was very ill. And then he was dreaming. In his dream, Krishna appeared, and Krishna was rowing a boat. And Krishna told him not to worry. So Krishna looks after his devotees. There is no doubt. So we can be fearless, actually. So fearlessness is there in a devotee, because we are never alone. Wherever we are, Krishna is there. Purification of one's existence. Sattva samsudir. We're living in a strange time. People put pins through their nose or wherever they put them. I once went into one shop, and there was one boy, and he was looking at me. And the next day he came to the Sunday program, so very nice. So I spoke to him, and I told him, he said, I've always wondered, you know, whether I'm a devotee or not. I believe in Krishna consciousness, but I've always wondered whether I'm a devotee or not. And he spoke like that. So, some people have that, you know, they have a speech problem. And when you're in a conversation, you try to sort of look what it is. Is there a problem here, a problem there? Anyway, I explained to him, I said, everyone is a devotee. Everyone is a devotee. Only some people know it and some people don't. But everyone in the world is a devotee, actually. And then he opened his mouth and he had a big metal thing in his tongue. And I was wondering if he was a devotee. But no, everyone is a devotee. No? But some really have no idea. They forgot. Put screws in their brains. That's not advisable. We can better accept. So a devotee, instead of doing all kinds of awkward things, drinking, smoking, doing this or doing that, a devotee is looking for, in his actions, for purification of his existence. That is very nice, because in that way one's actions become a benediction. One arranges his whole house full of purifying things, just like the temple room. Before it was a house, just in a row in the street, and I guess this was the living room, and I don't know what they were doing, but whatever they were doing, it's become purified. Because the deities are here, because the transcendental paintings are here, so much kirtan has been performed, and things are purified. In one Rati Yatra, it was in Stockholm, and His Holiness Smita Krishna Maharaj was telling that once Srila Prabhupada said that when the Harinam party goes through the street, it's not only that all the people who are in the street and are hearing the holy name are being purified. Not only them. He said, no, the street itself is being purified. And anybody who goes through that street afterwards is also purified. So imagine the power of kirtan. The street becomes purified, and afterwards anyone going through that becomes purified. So how much purified has this place become? It's inconceivable. So much kirtan. In this way, we must purify our existence, purify everything. That is our business. That's what a devotee is doing, always looking for ways to become more pure. And as you become more pure, then a burden is lifted.
Because sinful activities leave a burden more and more. You steal, then afterwards there's a burden. You kill, then there's quite a burden. And more and more. Rob a bank or two, lots of burden. And so on. All that we leave for purifying activities. Cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Without knowledge, it is very difficult. Because we are not all at once full of love for Krishna. No, it is said, Aham sarvasya prabhava matasavam pravartate iti matabhajantamam buddhavavasamam vitaha. If we know that Krishna is the origin of everything in this world and also the origin of the spiritual worlds, then we can naturally develop affection for Krishna and even become ecstatic in devotional service. Buddhavavasamam vitaha. Buddha, one who is Buddha, one who knows. One who knows this, he can attain that ecstasy. So, without knowledge about Krishna, it's not possible. But in this age of Kali, Kalavasme, Yuge, Janaha, Manda, Sumanda, Matiyo, Manda, Bhagya, we are lazy. We are lazy. So, do I have to read the Bhagavad Gita? Do I have to turn these pages? Oh, they're so heavy. I don't know if I can lift them. Such heavy pages. Ooh, my hand is getting tired. No, I cannot do it. This Bhagavad Gita. And so we are finding it so difficult. Even one verse. Can we read one verse every day? No, I will try. I will try. What do you mean, try? Can you? I will try. Yeah. If someone says, I will try, basically means a polite way of saying, I will not do it. That's what it means. I will try. Instead of, can you do it? I will try means politely, no, I can't do it. So, that's not good enough. No, no. You can't say to Krishna, will you serve me? I will try. No, 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 no. You must do it. Not I will try. So, cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Dharmam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam. That spiritual knowledge cannot be manufactured. Yes, you find a different church on every corner, right? And a mosque and a temple, and Leicester, I heard, is famous for its temples, right? Anything is here. Quite lots of temples from all kinds of different traditions. So what's the truth on the spiritual marketplace? It is a little confusing. All right, that is very fine. But the essence is not to belong to a particular club or a particular group. It's not about that. If you belong to a movement or a church, are you part of this movement? That's not the essence. The essence is to remember Krishna, to find out about the Supreme Lord. One may say, well, I am a Muslim. All right, very good. Be a Muslim. But what are you doing? That's the next question. What are you doing? If a Muslim gives all his time in his worship, then he becomes also saint. If a Christian gives all his time in his worship and follows his scripture, he'll also become saint. Still, the Vedas may be more complete in knowledge. That is another matter. But the point is that we must follow our scriptures. And we must know them. Otherwise, we will forget. Krishna, who was he again? No knowledge is required. Also, at the time, when spiritual life is very easy, then everyone is inspired. In a very short time from now, we'll serve delicious prasadam. So everyone will stay. No one will say, I have enough of Krishna consciousness, I'm leaving. Right?
But on Monday is different, you know. Sunday feast is over, and Monday you think, this Krishna consciousness is so difficult. Maybe I'm leaving. Right? But on Sunday, no one is leaving. So, like that, when we have a good time in Krishna consciousness, yes, then we are very inspired. But at other times, when it is difficult and austere, then we're not so inspired, isn't it? Then we struggle. At that time, when we struggle, then we need knowledge. Because this knowledge reminds us, yes, you make a sacrifice now, but you get very good results in the long term from this sacrifice. Sreya. Who was called Sreya?
We were called Sreya.
It's a very good name. Nice name, Sreya. Very good. Because Sreya means the long-term benefit. Not prayer. Not now. But Sreya, the long-term benefit. Yes. So this is good. But for that you need knowledge. Because the tendency is to grab what we can grab now. And that's what the modern world is about. It is not a very thoughtful society nowadays. We don't think. People are not encouraged to think. Just work. And when you come home, whatever you do, don't think. Turn on the TV, read a newspaper, or whatever you do. Don't think. For God's sake, please don't think. No, don't think. That's just modern times. They're not encouraged to think. That's not the culture. A TV, surf the internet, whatever you can do, read your email, papers, play a computer game, but don't think. Don't think. That's the society. And if you think, you get in trouble. If you start to ask questions about what's the goal of life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's it, the beginning of the end. You will no longer be a productive member of society at large. Come on. A parasite. Spiritual people. So, cultivation of spiritual knowledge is very important. Charity. Excuse me. Charity is also essential. But what kind of charity? Give to the Red Cross, Haiti. What kind of charity should we do? Well, there are different kinds of charity. Because there are three modes of material nature. And there is charity in the mode of ignorance. When you give people things that are not good for them. Just like someone is dying and his last wish is a bottle of whiskey. Bringing you a bottle of whiskey. Charity in the mode of ignorance. You just send him to hell. And you will follow him soon. So that is not a very good idea. Charity in the mode of passion. Mode of passion means enjoy this world. Life, isn't life beautiful? Isn't life just full of wonderful opportunities? You're young, full of energy and strong. Yes, enjoy now. Yes, Maharaj. The mode of passion. The mode of passion. So it says the mode of passion, according to Bhagavad Gita, says will give you misery. Okay. You can think about that. Yes, so charity must be given in the mode of goodness, at least, so that it helps people forward. Or transcendental charity, still better. But we must think a little bit. But we must give. We cannot just think, this is mine. I am mine. Yes, my house, my fence, my lock, my car, my wife. Mine, yes. Everything is mine. No, that consciousness is described as aham mameti. I and mine. That is the bodily concept of life. Janasya mohuyam ahamai nameti. It says, pum sastriyam mitunibhavam etam. When
when man and woman come together, it is said it creates hridaya grantim. It creates a knot in the heart. Oh, I love you so. And everything that comes to it, me too. And there it is, you know. And then put a ring, and the knot gets thicker, you know, and give a diamond. And in the end, it's one of those knots, so you just can't open it up anymore. And then you'll have Griha Ksita Sutta Apirita Janasyamohayam. Yes, Amaniti. You will have a Griha, you need a house. House we need, etc. We need a garden, some land, something. We need some space, come on. And then, yes, we have family, we have children, we have money, we want to be respected also in the neighborhood, you know. I mean, everybody's got a bigger car than we have, you know. I mean, that's not right, you know. I mean, we can't get a new one, you know. Can't go on. And all of these things, gradually, they enforce us in the bodily concept of life. Yes. So, this is a problem, and we have to rise above. So we give in charity to Krishna for Krishna's purposes. And if we give in charity for Krishna's purposes, then we get purified from that. Because it's mine, you know. It's mine, and I'm attached to it. And I'm giving it voluntarily to Krishna. Of course. And then we get, you get the situation of the balance, right? So much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for me, so much for me. What to do? It was an emergency. So this problem of weighing how much for Krishna, how much for ourselves, this is predominating our life. But we must become very charitable, very generous. So Vaishnava charity is very wonderful because a Vaishnava, you ask him, and he will give. I'll give you an example. In 1986, it was the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And at that time, I was in Mayapur, and I was involved in the construction of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi. And actually, there was a big construction site. And so one day, Lokanath Maharaj comes to me. And he says, I want you to look after Padyatra. And in 1986, Padyatra was no joke. They had an elephant, a big one also, that was known to pick up people and throw them away. They had a camel that had bitten several people. They had hundreds of villagers from India. And they had bullocks, and they had trailers, and tractors, and trucks, and all that was coming. And if I could look after them. So I go, Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, I'm doing this whole Samadhi construction, and all the construction in Mayapur, Maharaj. I'm in charge. I am so busy, Maharaj. I don't even have time to chant every day. I have to chant early in the morning in Mongolaj. Maharaj, I am so busy. He says, you know, in my village, Lokanath Maharaj's village, right? He said, in my village, they say, if you want to get something done, you go to a busy man. He said, because if you go to a man who is not busy, that means he's a lazy man and he won't do anything. That was it. I was finished there with his Maharati village logic. And then I had an elephant, a camel.
and hundreds of villagers. Yeah.
Pani nahi.
So, but this is, a Vaishnava is not only charitable with a few paisa. Can I give something charity? Yes, £1. No, not only £1. Not even only £20 for Krishna Bhagavan. Not only that. No. More than that, a Vaishnava gives himself. Real charity is when we give everything we have, when we completely give ourselves. That is Vaishnava charity. So one must be ready to give himself. Can you do it? Yes, 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 I can do. Oh, can you please do this service? No problem. Yes, 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 yes. How? You don't know. Can you give £1,000? Yes, yes, I can. I don't know how, I don't have it, but anyway, I guess I can. Help. But one has to have this courage. Huh? And if we have, then Krishna will send. Krishna will make it possible. Somehow or other, everything becomes possible. So we must have this spirit of being charitable. Well, I'm almost finished with the beginning of the verse. Anyway. Self-control. Self-control is very difficult. Nobody has self-control in this world. But self-control comes by having a higher taste. See? It is said, Hare Krishna, Visaya Vinivartate, Nira Harasya Dehinam, Rasavartam Rasupiyasya Param Dristanavartate. If you have a higher taste, then you can easily overcome the lower. Then you can really say no. If you don't have higher taste, how long can you say no? I have to say no. If you want to see the mundane movies, I cannot see anyone. I'm a devotee to Hare Krishna. But if you have higher taste, who cares about these mundane movies? I want to just see Krishna consciousness. Then, when higher taste is there, then we can control the senses. This is the system. I guess normally you stop at 6. I'm only guessing. No one told me. Is that how this time schedule works?
6:30.
With a lecture? 2 hours?
Today is
already. You're cheating me. I have heard. Because in India there's a lot of cheating. is it true? Now he's crying. I'm sorry. I offended you. That was not my intention. Yes. Yeah, so one devotee was saying to Srila Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't like India. Prabhupada said, you don't like India? He said, no, I don't like India. Prabhupada said, why not? He said, because Indians are very tricky. He said, but not you, Prabhupada, not you, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, you're wrong, I'm very tricky. I tricked you all into becoming Krishna conscious. I'm very tricky. So I think you're also very tricky. little one. So, performance of sacrifice. So, it is said that there are different kinds of sacrifices. But again, the real spirit of sacrifice is to do something for Krishna, to make an endeavor for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. It is not about some ritual. It is not some magic ritual. You did the sacrifice, but you forgot the lemons. Oh, sacrifice spoiled. Finished. No lemons. No sacrifice. Finished. How could you forget the lemons? You put the chilies on the mirror, but you should have put the lemons under the wheels. Oh, sacrifice is wrong. So, is it all about the perfect ritual? Is it really like that?
No.
The essence is the spirit. It is the love. It is how much we are ready to give ourselves. You think the Lord cares for someone else? Cool. Today I didn't get my lemons. No mercy on this car. No. Not like that. So it is not about the external form of the ritual. It is about the spirit of surrender. That is the essence of sacrifice. Okay. Study of the Vedas. Well, we can... The Bhagavad Gita is the summary of the Vedas. So, because all the Vedas, we just were checking it out. I told him yesterday in the car, 4,520 different books. So you can study them. And when you're finished, we'll talk again. And if you have to do that in 4,520 days, that is then one book a day, somebody can divide it by 365 and tell me how many years that is. I'm too lazy for this. If you have a form, you can do it. 4,520 divided by 3. What? 12. Approximately. There you go. We got a mathematician. Thank you so much. So, yeah, that helps. 12. 12 years. So after 12 years, you can possibly read them if you read one book a day. Serious reading. From morning to night. Some books are quite fat also. And that's just the basic, the four Vedas. And then you've done them. So that's quite something. Yeah. Four Vedas including Upanishads. That's what you've called up then. So that's quite something. So study of the Vedas, we can do it simply by studying the Bhagavad Gita. And that is manageable. That is manageable. That is why today we are focusing on the Bhagavad Gita. Austerity. Austerity is inevitable. Did England perform some austerity now, right? Snow, snow, snow. The country went flat, I heard. I was in Sweden where the snow was about 1 meter high. And the maximum temperature on the day I arrived was minus 22 maximum temperature for that day. Eskimos were all perspiring. It's a heat wave. Like that. But England went flat, right? At minus 2 degrees. It was like too much. So austerity is inevitable. That is my word. It comes on its own. You cannot think we're not going to perform austerity, and then you wake up and the world is white, and there you go. So austerity is sort of is part of life, whether you want it or not. So everyone has to perform austerity. Everyone, not only the devotees, everyone. But a devotee performs austerity in the service for Krishna in that way. So when it says austerity, it means austerity in the service of Krishna, for Krishna. For Krishna we will do even difficult things. This is a divine activity. So, this whole verse, I'm going to wind it up. This whole verse is, it's one of those lists, these three verses here. We can copy it, and you hang it on the wall in your bedroom, and every morning you can look at it, and, like, next to the mirror, look at it, and sort of see this is the mirror of the soul, the mirror of the body shows you one picture, and the mirror of the soul shows you another picture. Shows you the picture, shows us the picture, that we're falling short in all these good qualities. So just seeing these good qualities, we should look at them regularly. So this is indeed very nice to hang on your wall. It is a good thing. Frame it, hang it, look at it every day. Make it a meditation. Because that's the nature of reading the Bhagavad Gita. It is more than just memorizing, more than just learning Bhagavad Gita. It's meditate on it. Think about, how can I reach this? How can I actually
attain this standard of life.
The Bhagavad Gita is a book about life. I'll give one example. There was a person who had learned many recipes by heart from the cookbook. And then on a big public function, that person was just reciting the recipes. And you put a pinch of salt and a little ginger and then and like that. And it was amazing that somebody could recite so many recipes on the cookbook. That was amazing. And this, of course, if someone could recite 100 recipes, we would give him an applause. For sure. Probably after 10, we would already give him the applause. Thank you so much, enormous enough. But if someone can cook 10 recipes really well, we're cheering, that's the real thing. Same with Bhagavad Gita. You can learn all the verses by heart. The whole Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end, we can recite it and memorize it. Very nice. Applause. But if we live the Gita, then we are following the real purpose of the Gita. This is the essence. We must live it. So therefore, these verses are very important. The first 7 verses of the chapter are describing the divine nature, and then that's us, the devotees, and then the rest of the chapter is describing the demoniac nature, that's the neighbors. Like that, so, or should we maybe look at the whole chapter and maybe even consider that a few of these demoniac qualities are still in us? We won't read them today, but the rest of the chapter, you can sort of have a look at home in privacy and see if there are, some of those demonic qualities that actually fit. With that food for thought, I want to conclude. If there are any questions, I will try to answer. Yes, Atish.
Atish always has a question. Apart from the 16 rounds and 4 ranks, which is required of the other things such as reading, hearing and things like that, I find that if I set myself a minimum amount, I get put off with that pressure and the rigidity. So then I don't know whether to follow on discipline or just taste. If discipline puts me off, then taste could be whimsical.
So a bit of both. There is no stereotype solution in Krishna consciousness. You cannot just say, this is the path, and that's it. Here's one simple way of how you apply all this knowledge. No. One has to apply it with intelligence. In the 11th canto, it is said that one must take this knowledge and apply it with intelligence. And that means that we should decide from situation to situation what should be the priority. So sometimes a certain amount of discipline is required. As you said, otherwise we become slack. So some discipline is needed. But if you create extreme discipline, just only discipline, then it becomes too much pressure. And then the desire comes to follow the taste. So there must be a bit of both. So we must have a program. Some discipline is required. Basically, our basic discipline is early rising. Now, it may be that one day you're totally exhausted, totally finished, really, like half dead, one of those, And then, but the discipline is rising early, half dead or not, crawl out of bed, right? Being like
finished or not, you know, somehow or other, open the tap, take the shower, and change around. Okay, that is rigid discipline. It's difficult to follow. Yeah. For most people, that would be too extreme. For most people, the standard would be rise early. But if you're totally exhausted or not well, sleep a little longer. Not too long, so that you can't chant your rounds at all. But a little longer. But as a general standard, rise early, so that you can chant the rounds in the morning. Like if this way, there's discipline, but it's not so rigid that it just becomes unmanageable. So like that, we have to learn by experience. So in the beginning, we tend to be a little fanatic. It's not uncommon that in the beginning we are quite fanatic. Later on, we feel a need to become more natural in Krishna consciousness. Because if you become too natural, then you could give in to the lower nature, and that would not be so good. So we must be careful. Some discipline is required. But at the same time, we don't have to make Krishna consciousness unnecessarily austere. It is a natural process. But overall, like I gave the example, early rising is an important thing because it helps us to chant in the morning. And otherwise, if you chant at night from the TV, what are you doing? They're not the best. No. Better early in the morning when things are, when we are fresh and the brain is still sort of a little empty. When nothing is going on. So some discipline is required. Any other question?
How do you stay focused chanting over 16 rounds? In one round I can manage, second round it gets a bit hard. But for 16 rounds, how do you keep focused?
Well, when I first got the Maha Mantra, I got it through some musician. He had been in India, was a piano player. His name was Burton Green, and he was playing ragas. I also was musical, so I played some string instrument, and together we played ragas. Then he says, let's do some mantra. I said, yeah, why not? You know, raga, mantra, very nice. It is all spiritual sound from India. That much I know. Sound invested with spiritual power. And we sang the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But I didn't know anything more. I heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but I never knew anything about Krishna and the flute, nothing. That came as I had more knowledge. So, as we get more knowledge about Krishna, naturally, there will also be more taste. And then naturally, our chanting will also become more enlivened. Therefore, hearing and chanting go together. And as we go deeper and deeper in our hearing, our chanting will become more meaningful. And then it will become more easy to concentrate, and it will become just more easy to be absorbed. We see that Haridas Thakur was, whenever he was thinking of Krishna, he was remembering Krishna is such a wonderful person. He's just so kind, so merciful, so amazing, so full of unlimited wonderful qualities. And it's just amazing that I can chant his name, Krishna, Krishna. In this way he was chanting the name full of love. But we are chanting the name out of duty. For us, the happiest moment is when 16 rounds are finished. We're very happy we are chanting. Yeah, because we're chanting out of duty. But the more we begin to appreciate Krishna by hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna, the more our chanting will improve. There was one more hint.
Maharaj, of the divine qualities, are there any that we should particularly focus on to help diminish the others?
Well, interesting that on one occasion, Srila Prabhupada emphasized one quality out of all these qualities, and the quality that he emphasized was kshama, forgiveness. And it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that the Brahmanas particularly have this quality of forgiveness. Because from forgiveness, then all other qualities can come. So forgiveness is a big quality. We must be, we must learn to give up this envy. Because why not forgive someone? We want to be forgiven. If I make a mistake, it wasn't my fault, what could I do with it? It was circumstantial. It got out of hand and then it happened. But actually, it wasn't really my fault. If someone else did it, how could you do this? I mean, this is really incredible. Instead, in spite of everything that we told you, you blew it, you know what I mean? So we measure by two standards. Someone else, no mercy. Ourselves, so soft, so merciful. So forgiveness, if we simply start to deal with others as we deal with ourselves, says Chanakya Pandit, that will help us to develop this quality. And then from this non-envious quality, we can gradually develop the mood of a servant, and then all good qualities will come. Yes?
Maharaj, I went to a Jabba workshop with Swami yesterday.
Okay, must be nice.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. And he was emphasizing the importance of chanting Jabba, actually. And one of the things that he said that made a big impression on me, which so hardly relates to what you were just saying, was that when we actually are chanting, which we need to do as well as possible to understand anything of Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that we are actually relating to the Supreme Personality of Godhead right now, and that our attitude to chanting, if we apply that to our attitude to inviting someone, come here, I want to be with you right now, and then we watch television or we wrote down a list of shopping that we all of a sudden remember, etc., etc. And that was sort of very graphic, it really made sense to me.
Yeah.
And then he also said that apart from making offenses towards the Vaishnavas, which is something that really keeps us from developing in Krishna consciousness, there was one quality that was very detrimental, and that was resentment. And that is almost the opposite of forgiveness, isn't it? That you were just mentioning that.
Yeah.
Thinking of that.
Yeah.
When we have resentment, we just cannot forgive.
Yeah, exactly.
And that
Yeah, that was a whole topic some time ago, Mahatma. It's on Krishna.com. You'll find a series of lectures that he did on that topic of resentment and how much that is an obstacle in devotional service. And how actually it works like that. Right? That in many cases we have some grudge. Somebody did something and we're still remembering it. We'll always see that person through that light. You know. 12 years ago, he did that to me. I know his kind. And we'll never be able to see that person loose from this one incident, one mistake. Yeah. Yeah, I also sometimes have that, you know, like many years I was a manager, and then, it's a rotten job, you know,
actually. And you make mistakes, you know, and you deal with people. So I made mistakes. I mean, the first one to admit it. Yeah? But there are people who are still upset with me for something, you know, that I had done, yeah, 30 years ago, or whatever, 30 years ago. And I don't even remember it. And I think, well, you know, God, you can't trust this person because 30 years ago he did this. And that's like, and I try to say, but I have changed. I have not changed. So this is another type of resentment. We have to see that people are growing and make mistakes. It's all right. Yeah. Yes.
Just with your scenario, if you're in that situation with a devotee and they feel an issue with yourself.
Yeah.
Is that a Vaishnava problem?
No, I guess it's like, at least Srila Prabhupada, at the end of his life, he was saying, he asked forgiveness of the Vaishnavas. He said, in the course of preaching, I may have ruffled many feathers, that it was sometimes unavoidable, it wasn't like meant to be like that. And then, no, of course, but he asked for that forgiveness. Yeah. So that's, no, I also am sorry that, you know, I made these mistakes, and if anybody hears this, by this, please forgive me for the mistakes, because I tried to do my best, but I was young and passionate and, you know, inexperienced and so on. Sometimes we do it different now. So no, that's not an offense. It's just a trauma that somebody still has from the past. I guess my turn to ask forgiveness.
Sometimes you get worried that if you've done an action and someone's not feeling, if I've done something and someone's feeling this and that about me, but you don't know what the consequence is, because you actually really like two minds thinking whether it's
not
enough.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, Krishna is understanding, you know, I mean, we can get very mental like that, you know, did I offend someone, oh my God, and now they're just thinking of me, and living a life. No, Krishna also understands that we are people from this age of Kali, and not so smooth in dealings with another, you know, and that sometimes we say things, you idiot, and you know, and that it's not really meant to be a Vaishnava parade, so Krishna doesn't, you know, if you say that in Satya Yuga, probably. The age of Kali, you can get away with something. So I think it's fine. Okay, what do we do next? Kirtan, I guess? People are trying to get in.
Offering.
The first thing offering. Jeez, goes on for a long time. It really goes to 16. It wasn't cheating. I really made no offense, maybe. That's why. Maybe it's really fun. Sorry about that. Lack of faith in myself. If there's no other question, I can just chant a little more. Just a little more Hare Krishna.